These are the PCORI methodology standards. This category is about standards for data networks as research facilitating structures. It was prepared by Dr. Hadi Karatsi from the Department of Health Policy and Management and Dr. Daniel Ford from the Department of Medicine. It will be presented by Dr. Karatsi.
Hello, this is Hadi Karatsi. In this module, I'll be discussing other case studies beyond PCORNet that would show how you can develop or use data networks for research. This module, which covers other research networks than PCORNet, covers standard DN2, which is the selection and use of data networks. Here are some of the other data networks out there that could be used for PCOR or CER research. We have MinuteSentinel, DARTnet, or the Distributed Ambulatory Research and Therapeutic Network. We have HMORN, or HMO Research Network. We have Scanner, or sometimes also called PScanner, which is the Scalable National Network for Effectiveness Research. The P may be added because it could be PCOR, Scalable National Network for Effectiveness Research. We have Shrine, which is sort of a data network to make the I2B2 tool easier to work with and make it more distributed. And Shrine stands for the Shared Health Research Information Network. eMERGE is the electronic medical records and genomics, so that goes into the genomic world. And there are also other ones. I didn't want to include all of them. That would be a very long list, but here are also two other ones not covered in this module, but recommended if you want to look at them. It's the Cancer Biomedical Informatics Grid and the Regenstrief's centralized model. So let's start with the first one, is the MinuteSentinel data network. Remember that these are actual data networks, so they have all of the things that we talked about. They have governance, they have patient privacy protocols, they have all of the stakeholders who are sending the data, they have actual data there, and they all adhere to a common data model. So I've talked about the common data models in previous modules, and now you can see the actual data networks. So MinuteSentinel project is a pilot project sponsored by the FDA to create an active surveillance system. And the surveillance is, of course, for medication complexities and so on. It aims to inform and facilitate the development of a fully operational active surveillance system to monitor the safety of the medical products. And it uses pre-existing EHR data from multiple sources. You can see here the data partners that are feeding into this actual data network. There are almost 18 large either integrated delivery network systems or academic medical centers or payers. And information that is obtained through the MinuteSentinel is intended to complement other types of data and information that is compiled by FDA scientists, and eventually they might be able to merge some of it. I've provided a link to their website, and you can find more about them. So what is the architecture they use? They use a distributed data approach in which the data partners maintain the physical and operational control over the data in their existing environment. So those partners, like the 18 partners that MinuteSentinel has, they all keep their own databases or data systems. And then MinuteSentinel has a common data model that standardizes this clinical information or administrative information across all of the data partners. Then data partners would execute within their own firewalls the module programs that are provided by the operations center to run the study or the surveillance that MinuteSentinel needs. What will happen is after they run these things, the output of these programs with the operations center and project work groups will be aggregated in one form. And that would inform FDA about, you know, if there are certain side effects or certain things happening, and then they can track those outcomes. So how big is the data they have? They have around 178 million sort of patients in their network collectively across all of these, you know, partners. Of course, because the partners do not share the PHI information of these patients, they really don't know if they're replication, like a patient showed up in a couple of these partners, but assuming there is no double counting, it's a very large number. They have around 350 million person year of observation time. They have around 48 million individuals currently enrolled, and they're keeping sort of the active patients that are accumulating new data as well from them. And there are 35 million individuals that have over 3 years of data. And this is very important, the length of the data you have for patients, because that can give you trend lines of what is happening over time. You can do temporal analysis and so on. You can see that their age distribution is mainly sort of middle age sort of a thing. 35% is 22 to 44 years old, and 26% is between 45 and 64. So more than 50%, almost 60% or higher is between 22 and 64, and only less than 10% exists for any other age category. They have around 4 billion medication dispenses in their data network, so they can do a lot of studies on that. And they actually collect around 45 million dispenses per month. You know, more than 4 billion unique encounters, 42 million acute inpatient stays. The numbers goes on and on and on. And of course, I only mentioned for MiniSentinel. I don't want to go and mention all of these numbers for all of the other networks, but I just wanted to show you that the numbers are very big. This is very different than running a traditional randomized clinical trial. These data networks will enable you to find a lot of cohorts, find a lot of patterns, a lot of patients that may fit with the phenotype you're looking for, and you can run your CER or PCOR studies as needed. And if you want to find out more about MiniSentinel, I've provided you with links to their architecture, their CDM, their quality review process, and their governing policies and principles. So the next data network is DARTnet. It's the Distributed Ambulatory Research and Therapeutic Network Project. It's a rapidly growing collaboration of PBRNs. This is not PPRN. Don't confuse it with the PCORnet PPRNs. These are PBRNs that are working to build a national collection of EHR data, claims data, and patient-reported outcomes. PBRNs are sort of the ambulatory research networks that try to collect data in a limited setting, and now DARTnet is basically the collaboration of these smaller PBRNs that do research on in outpatient settings. The networks seek to blend quality improvement, effectiveness, and translational research with a data-driven learning system. And hopefully these outpatient settings can use DARTnet to create something like a learning community, which would provide benchmark data to these practices. So these they can either identify high performance, or they can compare each of these individual PBRNs. They can compare themselves with the larger set of PBRNs out there. I've also provided a link to their website. Recently, they have changed their name to DARTnet Institute. So it has a little bit of a change there. So what architecture they use? They also use a federated network of EHR data and also other clinical information from some sources. The databases, they reside in multiple member practices and are linked through a secure web-based system. The CDM they use is OMOP. And the type of extraction they do is a bit complex, but basically there are three ways that you can extract the data and share it across DARTnet. Either you use the OMOP CDM to extract an XML data extract out of it and then import it through a tool or a mechanism called Rosetta. There are also third-party EHR data extraction tools that you may use to extract data from your local EHR and then put it in local federated databases, or do a manual data extraction if needed. So they have been very open on how to bring in the data, but then everything complies to the OMOP CDM if needed. Some numbers, they have 12 distinct research networks that basically makes up the DARTnet Institute, and they have around the coverage of more than 12 million patients per year, 5 million patient lives, and approximately 5 billion data points. Again, 5 billion data points depends on the type of data. Is it vital signs? Is it like social data or family history and so on? You can see the partners here. Academic partners are a number of universities involved in DARTnet. They also have private partners, CTSA partners, the Clinical and Translational Science Award Centers. You remember that these are also involved in other data networks. And they also have network partners. So there are entities that have their own smaller data networks, but they wanted to join .NET so they can also share some benchmarks and so on. If you want to find out more about .NET, I've given you some links to their architecture and data extraction specifications, the common data model that they used, OMAP, how they use that, and also different adapters that they've created to do the ETL extraction, transform, and load in the Rosetta format, and also the data sets that they have. It's interesting to see all of the different data sources they have. They're all links on the slide. So the other data network is HMORN. It's the Health Maintenance Organization Research Network. And basically, HMORN brings together the research departments of a number of healthcare systems. These are usually large healthcare systems that have some sort of an integrated delivery network within them. So they collectively represent over 1,400 scientists and research staff that work on common issues that all HMOs face. They're going to change the name of HMORN, but the data warehouse they use is called VDW. It's their virtual data warehouse where they share the data for the research they want to do. I've provided the link to HMORN on the slide as well. In this slide, you can see the members that are included in HMORN. You can see there is a long list of integrated delivery network systems that are spread also geographically. So on the map, you can see that we have a good number of them on the West Coast and East Coast, but also in Midwest and the South. So the virtual data warehouse that basically is the infrastructure behind HMORN also has its own architecture. It has its own common data model. This is a federated database where each site stores their data locally in identical data structures. Again, this is not a centralized data model. This is all federated. And each site creates a series of data sets across the selected content areas based on a common definition and concept. So basically, this is how you can create certain numbers that others can also create for themselves and then compare with yours if needed. So the purpose, of course, of HMORN is not necessarily patient-centered research or comparative effectiveness research, although you can do that, but the main purpose is to enhance efficiencies in performing multi-site research. And each site retains ownership and control of their respective data. That's how the federated model works. And something interesting about HMORN is that they have periodic data quality checks where they look at different ranges, cross-field agreements, implausible data patterns, and cross-site comparisons to make sure that none of the contributing HMOs are providing data that doesn't make sense. So that's a data quality check, which is very important for all data networks. If you're interested to know more about VDW's data structure and architecture, I've also provided a link on the slide for you. This slide also shows the underlying data types that VDW collects. We can see it collects enrollment, demographics, census, pharmacy, utilization, like procedure, diagnostic codes, inpatient, outpatient events, vital signs, lab tests, and also includes a tumor registry. And this is going to expand in the next phase. Another data network is PScanner, or the Patient-Centered Scalable National Network for Effectiveness Research. Actually, PScanner is one of the 11 clinical data research networks, or CDRNs, that comprise PCORNET in the first place. And it is designed to be stakeholder-governed federated network that will utilize a distributed architecture to integrate data from, existing networks. And most of it, it's in California. So you can see the stakeholders are the VHA, the Veterans Health Affairs System, in California. We have the UC family, Davis Irvine, LA, San Diego, and San Francisco, and also some of the private clinics. And they have also a number of task forces that would manage certain things. I've also provided a link to PScanner on the slide. PScanner has a scalable and flexible distributed infrastructure for its architecture, which will enable the collaborative CER research while they can engage patients and clinicians at the same time. PScanner has been used to conduct multiple studies within the same computer network, where each study may focus on different clinical domains and have, you know, varying data needs or data models or even data sharing policies. So basically, Scanner is comprised of a set of SSL encrypted web services that would allow a user to perform a distributed statistical analysis on data hosted on remote sites. So this is a very advanced data network where you run your statistical analysis while you don't actually see the individual patient data that it's stored on each of these sort of partners' databases. Indeed, Scanner uses OMAP as its common data model. And I've also provided a link if you want to find out more about the architecture used for PScanner. Here's a diagram on how PScanner interacts with each of the nodes. In terms of its larger architecture, you can see the query in the middle of the screen going to each of these nodes, node A and B on each side. And the summary results will feed back into PScanner, and then that's where you can compare the results, visualize some of the results, aggregate it, and come up with different outcomes that you want to measure. And this is PScanner's OMAP mapping. So you can see this is how they've used OMAP CDM to bring in some data from one of the partners. And this happened to be UCSD as one of the partners. Again, I'm not expecting that you would be able to read this. It's just to know that the OMAP CDM is, at least on its surface, these tables that have standardized data elements in it, and they have a standard way of having a semantic interoperability embedded in it in terms of relationships and how these things are interconnected. Another data network is Shrine, which is in conjunction with I2B2. It is the Shared Health Research Informatics Network. It's a federated query tool for I2B2 databases. So what happened in the history of it is that the Harvard Medical School proposed creating a web-based software network based on another prototype that would allow the participating Harvard hospitals to link their respective I2B2 instances. So I2B2 is sort of a rough database on top of an existing EHR of one of the stakeholders, one of the hospitals, where you can start counting number certain things. So you can basically create a cohort of patients and know how many you're dealing with before even you go and start your study. So that's what I2B2 does. But then what Shrine does is it would help you to run I2B2 on the data sets, the data I2B2 instances of multiple hospitals at the same time. So you can start doing an aggregation of the counts of patients meeting certain inclusion-exclusion criteria for whatever you want, like demographics, diagnosis, medications, and lab results across all of those hospitals. So I've also provided a link to Shrine if you need to know more about it. Just to give you also some information about I2B2, I've just described it. It's an NIH-funded program that they developed to be able to run numbers for cohorts much easier. This is the underpinning of Shrine, and Shrine basically connects them together. So here on the right side, you can see there are, for example, three of the stakeholders, and the Shrine system will allow the HMS, the Harvard Medical School, to run some query aggregator and then broadcast the query to the local hospitals, and the Shrine adapter will get them, do the aggregation, and send it back. So you're basically running I2B2 or the query mechanism on multiple I2B2s. And here's an interface. You can see I2B2 interface running on Shrine. The interesting thing is that this is running on all of those participating hospitals and the Shrine system. So just imagine about, you know, you have a CER in mind, a comparative effectiveness research in mind, and you want to know how many counts of patients with a certain thing, with a certain condition, whatever it's your phenotype you want, you have across all of these hospitals. You come here, you run the query in real time, and you have the results here. And then if that is something that would give you enough of a, let's say, statistical power, then you can go ahead and either apply for funding to do the study or start actually doing study, you know, get all of the policies in place and get the data and do the analytics. And here is the last data network that I will be covering. It's eMERGE. It stands for Electronic Medical Records and Genomics. eMERGE is a national network that it's organized and funded by the National Human Genome Research Institute and combines DNA biorepositories with EHR systems for large-scale, high-throughput genetic research in support of implementing the genomic medicine. So it's not only clinical EHR data, it also has DNA biorepository data in it. And I've also provided a link so you can find out more about it. Here is an image where you can see how eMERGE is organized. You can see that National Human Genome Research Institute is on top, and they have a steering committee, and they have gone through certain phases on adding a number of sites. So they have a number of universities, hospitals, and even pediatric sites signing up. And then at the end, at the bottom of the image, you can see the work groups, where each of these work groups have certain generic research questions, and they're trying to apply those across the entire network in order to develop further their science that they are working in. Here is the map of the stakeholders that are providing data to eMERGE. You can see eMERGE has higher network of participants in the Midwest, in the Northwest, and also East Coast. And eMERGE is, of course, expanding, and hopefully the South and the Southwest will also be added to the network soon. Just for your information, this is based on an extensive review that has been done for PCORI in the past on all of these networks and their specifications. That review has found certain things about these networks. Not everything is publicly available, of course, out there. So they found some documents on the governance of eMERGE, some documents about the architecture of, let's say, Shrine, or the semantic interoperability of Scanner and so on. And for some of these, like MiniSentinel, HMRN, DartNet, and others, they have found everything. And the next couple slides, the summary of these results are listed. Here is a summary of the research network's architectures. So you can see the different architecture that each of these networks have used. Some of these networks we have discussed in this module. So for example, you can see DartNet, HMORN, MiniSentinel, Scanner, and so on. You can see each of the rows is basically describing different features of that architecture. So you can see an architecture paradigm. For example, you can see almost all of them are distributed, except from the Regenstrief model, which is a central model. The query distribution and how the data is being requested. You can see, for example, MiniSentinel uses a publish and subscribe model, where DartNet uses a federated model with some local storage and the common data model. So this gives you sort of a lay of the land on how each of these research networks have been developed in terms of their architecture. So this table shows you the governance guidelines used by each of these networks. So you can see the guidelines listed in the first column, like whether they use timely research data sharing, whether they identify management and authentication of the individual researchers. And some of these guidelines are indeed the individual standards that PCORI has recommended for data networks. So you can see whether any of these data networks are complying or not complying, or it's unknown about them for each of these guidelines. And here is the rest of the table. You can see the governing guidelines again in the first column, and the rest of the columns shows each of the data networks. And this table shows the semantic interoperability used in each of these data networks. So you can see, for example, in terms of the standardized terminology and encoding of data content, which is the first row, HMORN uses, you know, certain standards, while DartNet uses, you know, maybe a slightly different set of standards, and so on. And in the last row, you can see the common data models for each of these data research networks. For example, HMRN is using the VDW, while the MiniSentinel uses its own common data model, and Scanner is using OMOP.